Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Hammer Down Podcast. I am your host, Elliot.
And I'm your host, Marquez.
And today we're just going to be going through a lot of different things. This is our first podcast, so congratulations to us, I guess. We finally sat down. We've been planning this for months. But yeah, to kind of go over an overview of what you guys are going to hear in this podcast, this is probably your first time hearing this. We're going to be just talking about a lot of things about the game, going through, literally ranging through everything possible. Today, what we got coming for you guys is just a little bit more about us, your host, just so you can kind of get to know us a little better, as well as the new character coming out next week, most likely. Well, yeah, next week they confirmed that, Brigitte. Some other reworks that are coming out. So we have stuff like Sombra. Well, Sombra kind of is getting a little bit of a change. Torbjorn, Hanzo, Symmetra. We just kind of want to talk about them, see what you guys think about them, and you guys can hear our perspectives on it as well. And then we're going to talk about competitive today, our competitive experience. We'll probably talk about that quite a bit, actually, because me and Marquez actually play comp together a lot. So to hop into it real quick, we are both console players. I, myself, I play PS4. I do have the game on both PC and Xbox, but I most likely sit on PS4 simply because I'm about level 300 on PS4. On PC, I'm about a 20, and on Xbox, I'm about a 9. So I have a
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a much bigger difference. I started out on PS4 because that was like my only game I had on PS4, and I just wanted to have a reason to play it. I was mostly playing Call of Duty before this game, and that kind of leads me into some other stuff here and the reason why I like this game so much. But yeah, what do you play?
I only play PS4. I don't play PC. That's a whole other can of worms that I don't wish to open up. I hear that they like to snipe over there, so that's not for me. But I've basically just been playing Overwatch since day one. I had the, what's that edition called? It's like the Origins edition. Yeah, I got the Origins edition of the game. Actually, it's really funny. I didn't want to buy the game initially. I really didn't. Like, my friend Logan told me about it when it was in beta, and I looked at it, and I was like, this looks very weird. I was so cartoony, and I was just like, this is like Call of Duty, but cartoony, and I wasn't really about it, you know? But then I played it for the first time, and I was just like, this is what I've been, like, wanting in a multiplayer shooter game. Like, honestly, like, I never really played, like, Dota or, like, League of Legends or anything like that, which I know arguably is kind of similar to this game, but I just know that playing a lot of Call of Duty when I was younger, I always would get tilted. I get so mad because I felt like I was just basically fighting a whole team by myself. And it just, like, then that's basically Call of Duty. Like, you don't fight together, you know? Like, it's like, spawn, run out, maybe get quick scoped, maybe someone throws a C4 through a window, you know? It's just like, rinse, wash, repeat. Maybe you can pop off and get, you know, 20 kills and die 3 times, but people are going to accuse you of lag switching or whatever. You know, it just didn't, it wasn't honestly fun, you know, because more often than not, you are not the number one player. And if you are, cool. That's awesome. Keep playing Call of Duty.
Yeah. I definitely know where you're coming from. Before playing Overwatch, I was really into this game called Smite, if any of you guys have heard of that. And basically, it's a third-person version of League of Legends, to put it simple. You have characters that have abilities, different positions that you have to play, being support, tank. Well, the tanks and supports are generally run in the same category. Your mage is more of your healer. So you have a mid laner who's typically a mage, and then you have your ADC attack damage carry, which is typically like something called a hunter, which could be likened to a character like soldier or something like that, somebody that is very consistent high damage output. And so instead of burst damage, which would be a character like Junkrat, the best way to kind of compare those here. So I was playing that a lot. I had probably 600 hours into that game before I quit playing it. And Overwatch was really attractive to me simply because I really do like that ability-based gameplay where it's not just like guns and stuff. Like, you know, like I said earlier, I came from Call of Duty. I played Call of Duty since Call of Duty 4 all the way up until I think the most recent one. I played a little bit of World War II. Didn't play much of Black Ops 3. Advanced Warfare was the last game I played consistently. Black Ops 2 is my favorite Call of Duty, hands down. But yeah, so I kind of just fell out of playing that. And so translating over to Overwatch was a nice thing because it mixed both of my past games that I like to play. You had Call of Duty being a shooter game, FPS, and Smite being an ability-based attack game as well. So that definitely helped me out. Obviously, if you can tell, the first character I probably played was Soldier. He was a character they showed you in the tutorial, and he was the most like the other things that I've played, being you have a like a grenade launcher that's pretty typical of like a lined ability in games like MOBAs, like League of Legends and stuff like that, and Smite. And then you also have your typical firing, so you just shoot your gun, and that was very much like Call of Duty. So I got used to him very quickly. He was my favorite character, hands down, and I basically just played him nonstop off the rip. And eventually, over time, I've kind of adjusted myself to play just about every character in the game. But yeah, so I kind of want to move into just like talking about a little bit more about us here. So like I said, my favorite, well, I haven't said this yet, but my favorite position to play is DPS. And I'm not one of those people that just like will only play DPS. I'll play everything else, but typically if I'm playing something else, I'm going to play it like a DPS would. So I have that DPS mentality coming from playing, trying to play competitive Call of Duty back in the day. I never like really went that hard, but I play a lot of game battles matches and stuff. So I have that mentality. So going with that, I play mostly DPS, and when I play, I typically will play Soldier and Tracer. So I play a lot of hitscan characters. I can play McCree. I can play pretty much any of the DPSs. I don't really play any defense heroes. I'm not quite very good on them. I can play Junkrat. And on console, especially like PS4, well, yeah, PS4, Xbox, it's very hard to play sniping characters. So Hanzo and Widow aren't necessarily that great. There are some players that are very, very good on them. You just don't see it quite often, especially at our rank in the game right now. But yeah, so that's my favorite character. So Soldier 76 is my favorite character, first character with a gold weapon, and also favorite position is DPS. What about you?
It's kind of funny going back to what you were saying about how you used to play Smite, because that kind of helped you ease into this style of gameplay where there's just, you know, different teams and stuff, and it's not just a shooter, but you still picked up Soldier as your first main. When I first started playing Overwatch, all the other characters were just kind of it was a lot for me to like take in with like the different abilities and how they worked and whatnot. So I grabbed Soldier first and I started playing him, but I was okay. I wasn't amazing at it because I wasn't a very good Call of Duty player either. But after playing for him for a while, I started getting into characters like Junkrat, like old Junkrat. Like Junkrat's been reworked and like had so many different changes that he's not the same as when I used to play him back in season 1 and 2. But I started playing a lot of Junkrat. I thought he was really fun. Eventually, I found my first actual love, and that was Mei. Mei honestly is probably my favorite character in the game, even though I don't play her in competitive really, and I don't really play her that much in quick play either. But she's definitely probably the character that I have the most hours on, the character that I play the most. I used to play the most of in comp back seasons ago, and also in quick play. Right now, I've kind of transitioned myself into more of a tank role. I kind of started playing a lot of Roadhog in about season 5, season 6, and I got just really into hooking people, especially on Ilios. You hook people into that well, man, it's not a greater feeling. There's not a greater feeling. So I got really into playing Roadhog, and then eventually I transitioned from Roadhog to D.Va once they kind of nerfed Roadhog a bit. And then when they buffed D.Va and they gave her the rockets, I was just like, this is incredible. Why are people not playing her more? Then people started playing her more, so then it was kind of harder for me to pick her in comp matches. But played her a ton last season, and now right now where I'm landing is I'm playing a lot of Reinhardt. I'm just playing a ton of Reinhardt. It was a tank that was kind of hard for me to pick up on at first, because I shied away from the tank when I first started playing Overwatch, because I felt like it was just one of those characters that you didn't get to do much. It was more of like a utility for your team. Just like stand there, hold a shield up, let your team get kills, and then once your shield goes down, go ahead and die, and then rinse, wash, repeat. Like, I didn't think I could do anything cool while playing Reinhardt, just walk around and hold a shield. That is completely false. And I finally figured that out and have practiced and gotten better at it. And now I feel like I'm an actual valuable asset to the team when I do play Reinhardt. So that's what I'm playing right now.
Yeah, for sure. Reinhardt's one of those characters. I've been playing him a little bit on PC just because I find it fun every once in a while to plug my controller in and play some PC. You guys are probably going to make fun of me for that I'm not using mouse and keyboard, but I'm not going to.
It's just unconventional.
Yeah,
it's
all you guys are probably thinking we're weird, but honestly, mouse and keyboard feels like the most awkward thing ever to me. The only PC games I ever played growing up was RuneScape, so.
But like, think about all like the key mappings you could do on a keyboard if you played like that.
It's funny, because I always thought playing PC, actually, this is kind of a little bit off topic here. I always thought that the most awkward thing would be aiming with the mouse and stuff.
Yeah.
But what really makes it feel so awkward is the WASD, because it is only 90 degree angles.
Right.
Or 45 if you hit two at the same time.
Right.
And I always find myself accidentally holding down W the whole time and just
running at people. No, no, that's me all the time.
Go. Yeah, so it's like, it just takes so long to like get adjusted to it, so that's just not attractive to me. Being somebody who's played so much console my whole life, that's kind of why I've stuck with it. I realize if I ever really want to go anywhere big with this type of game, I would have to transition to PC. I know that there are some characters that liken themselves to being able to be used by a controller on PC pretty well, like Reinhardt, which is why I'll play him on PC and not so much on console.
Yeah.
I know that it's a little better to use mouse and keyboard. You get faster rotations and stuff like that, but they're still definitely playable. So yeah, Reinhardt's one of those characters that is very good right now, and he's very polarizing in a way, I guess. He can seem like he's really boring to play, because a lot of the times people will just stand there with their shield up.
Yeah, they don't know. Just move forward, guys.
Yeah, start walking, and the second you get to start swinging your hammer around, it's one of the craziest things.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's a character that I think we're both starting to get more fond of, which is kind of why we decided on the name Hammer Down for our podcast here. And he's just one of those characters that seem really, really not fun at first. Although he looks really cool, the way that he plays can either be very fun or very boring.
Trust me, he is fun. There's nothing I've experienced in Overwatch other than hooking people into the well with Roadhog, and even that kind of gets old. But nothing more that I've found more satisfying than hitting a fire strike on someone who's either flying in the air or what's her name? A Tracer, who's blinking all over the place and getting the kill. It's just, oh, it's like, dude, yes.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that, yeah. So, basically, kind of my pass through comp, he kind of went through the characters that he evolved through. I started off on Soldier a lot. I played him a lot my first season that I started playing, which was season 5 or 6. I can't remember. And I think the highest I placed was Gold. I was pretty high Gold. Never made it to Plat that season. Actually, yeah, I don't think I made it to Plat that season. I was playing mostly Soldier, though, because I wasn't quite good on any other character yet. And as we progressed, I'm currently a Platinum player. My peak has been about 2750 or so, and I can play pretty much any character in the game, although I will mostly play, like I said, Soldier, Tracer on DPS. I can play Junkrat if needed, and then you move over to Tank, and I will play every tank except Reinhardt and Orisa in comp, at least, just because Marquez here is probably going to be playing Reinhardt. I was very fond of D.Va last season, Season 8. I played D.Va pretty much the entire season, and I've realized how much fun she is to be such a brawly character. Run out, you have tons of health, do tons of damage. I was getting top kills, top damage pretty much every game, and that was a blast. I love playing D.Va. I also love Winston, but he's really hard to play, especially at our rank, because being able to be kept alive is just really tough, especially with the current healers that are getting played, being like Moira, Lucio. On console, Moira, Lucio are pretty much every game. You don't see Mercy so much anymore, and if you do, They're usually not very good.
I feel like when you get into a game, your team should almost pick healers off of what their tanks are.
Yeah,
but that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the issue comes down to people who play healers typically are going to pick healers right away. I mean, they typically have a specific character they like playing, and they're not so much willing to switch around just because they only play that character.
Yeah.
And then the people who flex onto healers are normally just not very good at them. So like, it's kind of like, that's what makes comp like really difficult sometimes to win, because it's like you either have people that are really good at what they're doing, but they're not somebody that fits the comp that's being played by the other 4 or 5 characters, or they're willing to adjust and they're just not great at it, which becomes a little bit frustrating. And honestly, I feel like stuff like that is like where a lot of our losses come from.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of another little thing here, kind of going into our like favorite maps, I just kind of want to talk about this a little bit. My favorite map is hands down Junkertown, and you know this very much. Every time we get into a Junkertown map, guys, this is a true story, actually, or not story, but true fact about me. I have never lost, and me and Marquez together, but me, solo, have never lost a competitive Junkertown map. I don't know how, but I absolutely love that map.
We came close once.
We did come close. Literally last night. Like, it was pretty dang close. But I had to say, hop in my backpack, call me Dora the Explorer. We're gonna win this one. So, you know, run that soldier. That's to right, the ground.
It had nothing to do with my sweet hammer down.
No, not at all. No, yeah, he did have a nice fatty shatty with the solid five man. I think I got a triple off the five man, and then I got two more kills in my all. So that was all off of the tac visor on soldier. But yeah, so I'm definitely a Junkertown map. I just love how that map plays. I love the positioning you can have on it.
Yeah.
I don't have any complaints about that map. But yeah, I mean,
it's a well-made map. It honestly is. I've never played that map and been like, that's terrible. Why is that there? Or like, I can't see anything. Like, you're right. Like, I've never had a complaint or found something that I've just genuinely disliked about that map. It's pretty even on both sides. Like, you can do well on attack, you can do well on defense. It presumes that you have a good team comp and you guys work together.
Yeah.
But for myself personally, my favorite map is King's Row. I've always loved that map. It's just... It's just when you win on King's Row, it's just the most satisfying thing because it's so hard. It just doesn't happen often. Like, at least for us, whenever we play it on comp, it just something just always happens. Especially on defense, it's like it's such a long walk from spawn to back to the point when you haven't gotten the payload out yet. So it's just it's rough when you get a team wipe or at least three people are down and you don't have a Mercy or Symmetra or anything like that. But when you pull it off, it's like, yes, like we actually pulled that off on defense. On offense, it's the same way because you can have a pretty good defensive team. Most of the time, you're going to almost always get the payload out, though, because once you get a few wipes on the team, it's pretty easy to get that payload. But, you know, you can easily get stopped, especially once you get inside on that last final stretch. Once you get inside and you start losing forward momentum, you guys start losing alts and using alts all the time, and then no one's getting team synergy or people are getting tilted. It's really easy to just lose on offense on King's Row. But on the other hand, if that doesn't happen and you guys actually pull it off, it's very, very satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, King's Row is unanimously known throughout the entire community as the best map. I remember Blizzard had a poll basically for what map they thought was the best, and I think King's Row had 50% of the votes of all the maps in the entire game, which is, or it was like roughly
like 50. Even including Junkertown?
Yeah, like this is including like all the maps in the game, and jeez, like I don't know if it was 50 or 30, don't quote me on that, but I know it was very high. Like King's Row was pretty much unanimously voted as the best map. The reason why I dislike King's Row is because we just don't win it. And, yeah, so we haven't got it a whole lot this comp season so far. But I think with me switching over to playing a lot more Zarya and you playing Reinhardt, so, like, the Reinhardt-Zarya combo is
nasty.
I've definitely been getting pretty good at Zarya, and same with you on Reinhardt. So I think that'll help a lot on that map just because it's a little bit more brawly.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest issues that I dislike about this map is every time we play defense, we have such a big trouble getting back to the point and being able to stall it out and winning that fight.
Right.
But every time we play offense, the people are infinitely coming, and we're literally like wiping their entire team, and there's always just one alive who's able to hold the point consistently while other people keep coming back, and eventually we get whittled down and lose the fight. And it's like, I just don't understand where this is happening. Maybe I should go back and start rewatching matches or something.
Yeah,
it's pretty frustrating, but yeah, I mean, that just happens every time on King's Row. Either that, or we get to a point in the map where we're at a choke and we absolutely just can't do anything. Like, maybe they have an enemy Junkrat going off or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where I'm rocking on King's Row. It's just one of those, like, a little bit more polarizing things to me, but everybody else seems to love it.
Well, there's good, when there's just good and bad. And it's like, on defense, if you're trying to pay attention to where the attackers are, the attackers have, like, a lot of high ground areas that they can sit and just pick people off that are either on the point or a little bit off the point that I think a lot of players, especially at lower levels, don't pay attention to, or they don't react to it well, you know, because obviously almost every match you get some Widow or Hanzo at the top of their spawn trying to snipe people down choke. And then once they finally push in through choke, then you'll have someone on that ledge above the building to the left, right outside of the choke. Or they'll get inside and they'll get on top of the buildings that are back, you know, next to the point. And then when that happens, people, like, because you have the snipers or Junkrat or whoever back there shooting you. Sometimes they even had a soldier stand up there and just shoot down on us on defense from up there. And, like, people won't deal with them or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is a sentiment that I share a lot. Like, it gets really frustrating when you have people that are positioned well, but nobody on the team wants to deal with him, or we don't have a comp that can deal with him. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues that comes with Ryan Zarya a lot, is because since neither of them have
mobility,
really have ranged abilities, like, yeah, you have Fire Strike, and I'll have the like secondary fire on Zarya, but those aren't enough to really deter somebody from fighting from a high point.
Yeah.
And if we don't ourselves have like a team, you know, a soldier or a widow or something, and a little bit less of Widow, but more so like character like Soldier or even a Tracer that can get up there and harass them,
right,
we're just going to be constantly shot down, and like that becomes really frustrating, especially when teammates refuse to switch off, or say like we have like a Pharah who can hit them, but they're going to lose that fight just because they have, you know, a hits gang character that can take her out of the sky easy.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much that. Like, I kind of want to move into talking about Brigitte now. I have a lot of different thoughts about this character. I've gotten to play her a lot, I wouldn't say a lot, but a decent amount on the PTR. Brigitte is a character that I saw and I was like instantly very excited about.
Is she game changing though?
Yes. Well, so we're gonna talk about that in a minute. I kind of want to go through like a little bit of like my perspective on her. So since she's like a paladin-esque character, like I said, I played RuneScape my whole life, but I haven't really played many other RPGs other than some on like PS4 games like What's that game? Dark Souls. Stuff like that. And I've always liked paladin-type characters. Characters that can heal but also do some damage.
Yeah.
And I think that suits my playstyle the best. Actually, a while ago, this was a few months ago, about 4 months ago now, I posted a post on Reddit, on the Overwatch Reddit, and it was pretty much almost an exact build of what Brigitte came out today. And there's a very few differences. If you guys want to see that, you guys can hit us up on Twitter or something. And I can show you guys the post. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty much exactly what she has now, except instead of a flail, she had a sword. And she would be basically hitting a little bit slower than she does, but relatively same amount of damage. And yeah, it's pretty funny. There's a few differences, because this Brigitte got a little bit more abilities than the way that I had it set.
She has a ton of abilities. But,
like, the ultimate I came up with was legitimately it's a circle on the ground. It gives everybody in that area armor for the duration of the time, and that's literally what her new ability is.
Basically.
And it's,
yeah,
like, it was, like, spot on. It was crazy. There's another person that also predicted it as well. But yeah, so she's just a character I've been wanting for a long time. She allows people to be an aggressive healer. So basically you have the same amount of healing as Lucio when your aura is active from hitting people. It's about 16 healing per second, I believe is what it is. So it's not a lot of healing, but you can heal your entire team if they're in the right area. And I think she could be pretty successful on maps, on control maps, where you're wanting to fight in closed spaces.
Yeah.
Maps like Nepal. I think that will be a pretty successful one. And I'm trying to think of what the other one is. Not Ilios, the other control map. Yeah, it's escaping my mind right now.
Yeah, it's escaping my mind.
But, so you guys know what we're talking about, though. I think she'll be pretty successful in those situations. And, I just love that she's a healer. But also, she doesn't really have to focus too much on that. She wants to be in the fight, fighting people, and that's where she's most useful. And that's where I think my DPS mind is going to be very good on a character like that. So that's why I'm super excited about her. I think that she's going to be really fun to play. And yeah, so I mean, that's kind of how I feel about her. I've already told Marquez and then a couple of our other buddies that we play with, the first day she comes out, before I even play her, I mean, I've played her on PC, but before I play her on PS4, I'm buying a gold weapon for her. It'll be my second gold weapon.
It's a risky move. It's a real risky move.
It's a risky move. I've been saving up for a Tracer gold weapon for all the last season and a half, and I'm like, nah, I'm playing Brigitte for the rest of my life, so Brigitte, I guess, is what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how like my thoughts are on her. She's got a lot of useful implications as well. Her shield stun, in my opinion, is one of the top best abilities in the entire game.
It looks really new, like, really cool. Like, I'm excited to try that out myself. It looks really cool.
I think the way that it can be used is just so versatile.
Yeah.
You can use it as a dash, so you have a slight mobility out of it. And it's not a very far dash,
yeah,
but it can be useful. And it also has the ability to kind of, like, bounce up. So if you know the specific jump spots,
mm-hmm,
you can get some height off of it and get into, like, different areas, which is really cool. Not that height is super useful on her, simply because she's a close-range character, but it could be used to kind of throw off the enemies. If you're flying way up in the air, they're not going to be used to that,
right,
and it's going to really kind of throw them off. And you also have the shield as well, so before you use your dash, you have a shield, so you're already protecting yourself in that sense. You can stun people out of ultimates, which is huge. So Roadhog, what's her name, Moira, watch out, characters like that. Basically, you basically have a McCree stun,
yeah.
but it's on a 4 to 5 second cooldown, which is way shorter. I think McCree stun's about a 12 second cooldown.
Yeah, I think it's 12.
It's 10 or 12, something like that. And so you basically have a McCree stun that's easier to use because your shield's huge, and the stun is, I wouldn't say it's easy to miss, but when you do miss, you're going to get punished very quickly. If you miss your dash on her, you still got a shield to protect yourself, unless, of course, there's a Moira Ball, but for the most time, you know, most part, you're going to be fine unless, yeah, Moira Ball, Reinhardt, other Brigitte is really the only thing that's going to be punishing you here. So I think she's got a ton of implications just on the shield itself.
Yeah.
She can stun Reinhardt out of his shield. If you have a Doomfist getting ready to punch you, you can use your shield dash to cancel his punch, and you'll both get hit.
What about Genji
which is
dash?
Crazy. Genji dash you can't do anything about, unfortunately.
He still just dashes straight through.
Yeah, so as Genji dashes, he basically becomes intangible.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't do anything to him. At least to my knowledge, I don't think you can, because it's basically like a teleport is the way that it works, and
yeah.
the line of the teleport is damage, which is weird. But yeah, I mean, I really think Brigitte is going to be meta changing on some maps, but you throw her into, say, an offense on an open map like Blizzard World,
yeah.
I don't think she's going to be very good
mm-hmm.
after you cap the first point, just because there's that really long street line.
Yeah,
that
so many
she's,
side lines that you can
yeah,
pick her off any
it's
which way.
Kind of like what we ran into the other day when you were playing Reinhardt, I think, and I was playing Zarya.
Yeah.
And the rest of
they
the enemy
had positioning
team,
of it on us.
Well, they had a soldier and a McCree up top.
Right.
And although the shield should be able to block that, they had a Winston who was just jumping over our back line and tearing up our healers. So we were trying to push to get our healers to push up, get our rest of our team to push up, but it was just completely unsuccessful because every time we let our guard down to attack the people that are on our back line, we would just get insta-melded from halfway across the map, and since we have no range, we can't do anything about it.
Right.
And our DPSs, we had a Junkrat as a DPS, and maybe we might have had a Soldier, which Soldier would have been okay, but something tells me we had a Pharah, and I think that was a bad pick, especially being Zarya of Rein.
Right.
But, you know, so it happens. I don't think Brigitte will be good on those circumstances, but in any time you have an enclosed space,
right.
I think she will be a very dominant character, especially with how good her stun's going to be. And the ultimate giving everybody armor. If you guys play around that well, and you actually have, like, her healing combined with somebody like Lucio or Moira, who's just constantly giving healing out to the entire group, it's going to be really hard to take out. Even Squishies. I'm sure you've fought many times people that have Torbjorn packs, Squishies that have Torbjorn packs. It just becomes very difficult in order to take them out just from that first 75 health of being armor.
Oh,
you're basically doing double damage, because I'm not sure if all of you guys are familiar with armor. Maybe you guys are going to learn something today, but the way the armor works is that if you're receiving damage that would be more than 10 damage at once, it reduces 5 damage from that. If it's less than 10 damage, it's going to reduce that damage by half. So an example would be D.Va's shotgun, her regular shots from a distance, they'll do about 1 damage or so, or maybe if you're a little closer, say like 4 damage, well, then it would be doing half damage, which isn't even possible, so it would just do 0, and then also you have that 4 damage, it would just do 2 damage, so
yeah.
It's not negating all the damage, but once you're higher, so like say Junkrat throws his mine and does 120 with it, or hits you with a grenade, it'll actually do 115, which... So burst characters are actually much better against armor, because 5 damage off 120 isn't really a big deal.
Right.
But 5 damage off of a soldier shot who's hitting 20 per shot is going to be 15, and that becomes a pretty big deal after a few shots.
Right.
So especially when the people have 275 health now, which creates a pretty big deal there. But yeah, I mean, I think Brigitte will be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for her coming out on Tuesday and gold weapon first day, buying a skin for her first day.
Dude, you know what's crazy too? There's gonna be more competition in the game, in the community, for boops.
Yep.
She can boop.
Yeah.
How many people know this, but she can boop.
The thing with her is, okay, so we look at the other characters that can boop. You have Pharah, you got Lucio,
right.
You got kind of, those are the main booping characters, I guess. You have other people that can do like Hook, you have, you know,
like D.Va can bump someone,
and,
but like,
yeah,
you gotta
D.Va's
be
got
pretty much
too,
next
and,
to something to get bumped.
Yeah, but the thing is She's got, Brigitte's got the most stylish boop possible. She throws out that flail at a distance, and it will boop them in, like, weird directions. Like, you have to be accurate with it, too. So if you're hitting some style boops, right, like, that's going to be some hype stuff. Like, I can't wait to see Overwatch League, somebody hitting somebody with a boop off the side of, like, right side of Ilios Ruins or something like that.
Right.
That'll be nuts. I guess right or left depends on what side you're on. But, you know, the side with the open area.
Right, whichever side leads to your death.
Yeah. And once I start seeing Brigitte hitting those style boops, like, that's going to be probably one of the most hype things in the entire game. Like, when I see that happen, that's going to be cooler than, like, a quad get a Genji Dragon Blade. Like, that's going to be freaking
nuts. Oh, those aren't
nuts.
Cool anymore, man.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man.
Especially a Nano Boost Genji.
Yeah, Nano Boost isn't as impressive, but if you can do it off a regular one while, like I was watching Overwatch League last night, and Tevik on Florida Mayhem, who's Tevik's, like, widely known as, like, one of the best DPSs in the world, but yeah. Florida Mayhem's just been pretty poor. Like, they're like 3-15 or something, so they're not doing very good, or 3-14, but he went off last night. Like, he had a nasty triple Genji Blade. And his entire match was crazy. They ended up beating the Valiant, who Valiant's, you know, known as a top six team pretty consistently, and they got beat out by the second worst team in the league, which was crazy.
Underdogs.
I was like, that was probably the most fun Overwatch League match to watch. I'm a New York Excelsior fan, so you know, watching other teams sometimes isn't as fun or as hype, but Tevik made my day yesterday. That was crazy. Let's go ahead and move into some of the rework stuff. So we have Symmetra getting a rework soon, Torbjorn getting a rework soon, and Hanzo. I think all we really know anything about is Hanzo getting a rework.
Yeah.
Although, I think we can expect Symmetra and Torbjorn both getting a pretty hefty rework. While Hanzo, I would say his is, like, actually a pretty big rework in some regard, but also his fundamentals are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I'm going to run through just what he's getting done to him. He's basically going to get a roll, so something similar. It's like a dodge ability, so something similar to, like, a Hanzo, or not Hanzo. A McCree roll. Yeah, there you go. Good catch. And then he's also going to be getting, I believe, a rapid fire attack. So he'll be able to shoot a few arrows out pretty quickly, rather than, I believe it takes about a second to charge your arrow, or a little bit less than a second to charge your arrow. So he'll be able to get a little bit more damage out faster, which is going to replace the scatter arrow. Scatter arrow is a very polarizing ability. Many people hate it. I hate it. The fact that you can one shot Azaria 400 health.
Terrible.
That's not okay. Like, it's not an ultimate. It comes up pretty quick. I think it's once every 10 seconds or so.
It's just not skillful at all.
Yeah, like, I mean, we have to recognize that there's some skill, because you do have to aim a little bit, but the fact that you're aiming at the ground just feels bad. Like, that's almost as bad as, like, a rocket launcher in, like, you know, Call of Duty or even Fortnite right now. Like, when I get hit by a rocket launcher in Fortnite, it makes me want to just, like, stop playing the game for the rest of the night, because it's like, that took zero skill, and all you did was find a rocket launcher out of a chest. Like,
yeah.
That's it. Like, it's just not fun. So
maybe we should give him a rocket launcher instead of scatter arrows, though. Just imagine that.
At least
instead of this, he still has his arrows, but, like, he doesn't have that ability. It's a rocket launcher now.
Hey, as long as a rocket launcher can't ricochet off a wall, I'm fine. There's been many times where I've, like, gone around a wall completely, nobody's in sight, and I get a scatter arrow to bounce off that back wall and hit me in my back, and it kills me.
Oh, yeah.
Full health. And I'm just like, this is what? How? That, like, the mechanic is not very good. Like, I mean, it's that Hanzo's probably, like, recording that stuff so fast, but yeah, as a player getting hit by it, it's, like, very frustrating.
Oh yeah.
So I think with Hanzo, I don't know, how do you feel about the changes, or at least, like, the ideas of them, because we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we definitely haven't seen it. I think it's interesting. The only problem that I have with it really is just the I know it's definitely going to cause a lot of players who are either already have been playing Reinhardt a lot in comp to just be like, oh, now I have to play him in comp, or players that don't really play him to play him more. And that's just a problem that, like, yeah, you know, we've been having a lot, is just having unnecessary picks. Because it's fine if you're a Reinhardt, not a Reinhardt, I'm sorry, if you're a Hanzo main, if you're a sniper main, you're really good at those snipers. It's fine to play them.
Oh, did you mean Hanzo at first then?
Yeah, I meant Hanzo.
Yeah.
It's fine to play him in comp, but players have to understand that maybe your team may not need a Hanzo for team synergy. So when you see someone on your team that asks you to, you know, kindly get off in a nice way to switch to another character, it's not a play on like, oh, you suck or we don't think you're going to be good. No, you can be good. And that's fine. But some maps don't work that well and some team comps don't work that well. And I fear that with this rework, it's going to just kind of cause a bit of problems in that category.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with you that we last night we actually ran into that Hanzo on our team and we asked him to switch after a while and he was basically giving our team lip the whole time and eventually he switched, but he switched on to a Farah, which was also not a very good pick because the other team was running, I believe they were running both McCree and Soldier.
Oh yeah.
And maybe a Tracer as well. I think they were running triple DPS, all hit scans. So it's like you just switch off a character that wasn't very good onto a character that's even worse in this situation, especially being on a map that was fairly open. It was Ilios, which Farah is normally pretty good on that, but not when you have triple hit scans.
Exactly.
You know, there to take you out, and we're running, you know, basically the rest of our team is running dive comp, and it just wasn't working. That's the biggest issue I find with people who play Hanzo and Widow, especially on PS4. I don't know so much about PC, but people don't want to switch off of them.
No, they really don't.
And they, a lot of the times, they're so used to people trashing on them and telling them that they're trash that they just won't even use their mic.
Yeah.
Which every time you know that, like, you see a Hanzo get picked right off the rip, you probably know that you're going to have a very much harder time to play and win that game. And same with a Widow. Unless they're willing to switch, every once in a while you will get that, and they're willing to do something else.
I mean, it's a hard topic to, like, try to fix in general because of that, you know, like you have them already getting lip from people, you know, and toxic players trash talking and stuff like that when maybe they're doing good, maybe it's actually helping the team in that situation, but when it's not, they're not listening because they're so used to already getting, you know, not getting the benefit of the doubt in the situation. So it's tough. It's honestly tough. I don't know what, you know, could be done to help out that situation. Take all snipers out of the game. Yeah. But,
amen.
Yeah, that includes Ana too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely tough, but I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the rework. Just because Scatter Arrow is a pain in my butt, and I honestly stopped playing DPS because I don't want to die from it. But even then, like Elliot said, you could play Zarya and get one-shotted, and that's just bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just frustrating. And I really do like how they're trying to address the character because they realize that every time a team gets a Hanzo on their team, everybody doesn't want that player on their team anymore.
Oh,
it's like instantly toxic. You're probably going to lose the game just based off of mentality alone. Not even just the player playing bad, which can be very frustrating.
The game is lost before you've left spawn.
Yeah, because people just get so tilted, which I've been trying to do better at recently. And so we've had Hanzos recently. We still have been losing just because Hanzo can not be very good in certain situations.
Right.
And that's what I've been kind of saying to like you and Harrison recently, is that Hanzo works really well in some offensive situations, which is funny because he's listed as a defense character, but more often than not, I find him to not be very good on defense, especially if you're not landing shots.
Mm-hmm.
And an offense where you can run this like very snowbally comp, like you can get on the payload, like maps like Junkertown. You see pros play Hanzo a lot on offense on Junkertown.
Yeah.
And they'll basically get on the payload and just dome everybody because they have this big momentum. And Hanzo really wants to roll off that. He doesn't want to play passive like most people do. He's not like Widow. Widows can be played in mostly defensive situations, but you also do see her on offense quite a bit.
Right.
Especially just to get a few picks, like get one or two picks before you enter that fight, then it's a big advantage. But on defense, you basically are constantly whittling the team down to being one player less, and they can never really engage. Hanzo's a little bit harder to do that because you have to be very good at predicting shots, so Hanzo can be rough. So the next person I want to talk about after Hanzo is Symmetra. Symmetra is a character that I think a lot of people, she's polarizing, to say the least. A lot of people find her fun because she's not very hard to play.
Right.
And also the utility is pretty useful in a situation where your team isn't very coordinated, I guess. Kind of like Mercy ult, stuff like that. If people are dying a lot and you need to be able to have the ability to get back to the point, a lot of people say, oh, can we get a Symmetra, you know, can we get a teleporter, whatever. They just want that easy way to get back.
Basically. And I'll admit, I say that sometimes when we're playing on Kings Row, but just Kings Row, because like I said, Kings Row is a B, okay? It's hard to win on defense, and that's the only time I'm ever like, can we have a sim, please?
Yeah, and I think she becomes, she's a player that is a, she's just a crush player sometimes.
Right.
And people pick her because they know that they're going to have a hard time winning. But I honestly, most of the time, I think she makes it harder to win. Mm-hmm. And they just, a lot of people don't recognize that. And I think one of the biggest issues that we have with her is the fact that she is so, what is that called? I don't know. People want to play her because she's a little bit easier to play, and she offers a lot for that. But also, when you go up against a coordinated team, she is hands down the worst character in the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
So and,
easy to take down.
And that's very evident in the fact that at the highest level of play, Overwatch League, she has not been played a single time. And they've played a lot of matches, probably over 100 matches by now. So, really, she's not very good. And I think that has to do with the fact that she just doesn't do enough to be able to fill a certain category. And I would love to see Blizzard take her and move her from the support category over into the defense category.
Where she belongs.
Yeah, where she belongs. She's not supporting, doesn't heal, and I think that would be a big benefit to her. I would love to see them fix her gun, and I know that may not necessarily be broken, but it's just very annoying to have the gun go around a wall, you know, like that. Nobody likes that. When you're running away from her, I'm soldier, I'm sprinting, she's slower than me, and for some reason I can't get away from her gun because it like stretches and then goes around corners, and like that's a bad feeling. And then I would also love to see, I would love to see teleport not be a thing, but I don't think that'll change. I just want to see them give her actual gun a little bit more implication to be fought with. Just being up close and microwaving people,
yeah,
it can be good against a bad team, but a good team is just going to kill you first, and
right.
you're going to be useless.
Right.
So a little bit more utility to her. Give her some more brawling capabilities.
Right.
And, yeah, I think she could be solid.
I would have suggested to change her her secondary fire, too, because it's like no one ever really gets melted by that. It's so slow. It takes so long to charge up. You see it like a mile away when it's coming. So I would suggest maybe change it to almost something of like a hand cannon or something that you would see in Fortnite, maybe, where you would get like four rounds and then reload or something or that, or maybe just make it an ability so four rounds and then it's on cooldown, or maybe one big round and then it's on cooldown or something like that. But yeah, that's what I would probably suggest for that.
Yeah, I think that could be pretty good. And then lastly, in this category of reworks, we have Torbjorn. Torbjorn is another character that's kind of a little bit polarizing. There are people that only play Torbjorn, and that's typically the people that you see that play Torbjorn are people who only play him. And he kind of falls in the same category of Hanzo, where he's one of those characters you don't really want on your team.
Yeah.
And he only shows up every once in a while. And I think something that needs to happen to him is just make him more fun to play with. And I think they need to increase his skill gap a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make his gun something that's more important. I think right now people just focus on his turret.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having your crutch be your turret, be something that takes absolutely no skill to use outside of knowing where to place it,
mm-hmm.
I think that is something that's very frustrating for just about everybody in the game. And I understand that this game is beautiful to a lot of people because there are characters that don't take as much skill, so that people who, you know, aren't very good at FPSs can still have fun in the game and play at a high level of play, like characters like Mercy, for example. You know, she doesn't have a whole lot of mechanical skill in the sense that you don't have to aim as much, but she does have other things that you can be skillful about. And the same's kind of true about Torbjorn, but to a much lesser extent.
Yeah.
You know, you're not really doing a whole lot on him. You're not hitting these crazy, like, you know, you're not flying across the map hitting your like super jumps or whatever. I don't know what they're called, the glides or whatever, and supporting the rest of the team with an active mind. You're kind of just mindlessly hitting your turret and then shooting down a choke.
Right.
And I think something can be done to him. I would also love to see him become more of a builder, because that's his role, is he wants to build. give him something else. I don't know. What would you suggest as like something he could do?
I think he should be able to throw out a portable shield that shoots forward while he stands behind it, and also change his gun to kind of like a microwave type gun that like latches onto people.
Yeah, dude, that's so original. Actually, they don't have any characters in the game that play like that, right?
Dude, they really don't. That's what we need. And we can change his ultimate, too, to something like, I don't know, something that when you open it up, you have the choice between letting your teammate come back from death. Like, only a few, though, not everyone.
Like a teleporter?
Nah, we won't call it that. Like one of those things you see in the Portal movie. Call it a portal.
Oh, like a portal.
Like a portal. And yeah. then if you don't want the portal, you can just make a machine that gives you a bunch of shields.
You get a little bit of extra health.
A little extra health.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. He could build...
Maybe he'll give you armor instead of shields.
Oh, he would give you armor. Okay, yeah. That sounds like a pretty original thing there. But honestly, in all seriousness...
Yeah, no, seriously, I think... I don't know. I feel like, what if they took Torbjorn's shots? Because, you know, he has the arching shots, kind of like mm-hmm. Hanzo. Hanzo doesn't shoot straight. Torbjorn doesn't shoot straight. It arches. So you have to... There's a slight skill there, but at the same time, I feel like people aren't being skillful when they play Torbjorn, so they don't... They don't think of him like they think of Hanzo, so they don't lead with their shots, so that's why they aren't getting kills. But what if they took that away? What if it was just straight shots? Instead of that, you think that would just be game-changing, or...?
I think it would help him maybe a little bit. This is a thought I just came up with, and this sounds pretty cool. So think Roadhog secondary fire, where it goes out a while and mm-hmm. then it explodes into a bigger shot.
Yeah.
But what it would be, so it's like his molten, you know, he's got the molten lava, whatever. He shoots that long range shot, and at a certain distance, that long range shot bursts open into lava, and it basically does splash damage at that point.
That could be cool.
You know, it has to be balanced to do enough damage and be useful.
Right.
But you could be hitting multiple people from a distance because, you know, Torbjorn doesn't want to fight up close.
Right.
At least, you know, Unless he's like with a team,
and that gives him more incentive to get away from that turret, go help your team,
go shoot people down the hallway. Yeah,
yeah.
And I think that could be really cool. I would also love to see him just do something more for the team. Torbjorn often gets picked in place of a support, so do something more supporty. I think that'd be something useful. Like I was saying, you could do like a jump pack or something, like build something that allows the team to get into a different position, or I don't know, maybe do something else with his armor so that he has to build the armor. You know, you walk up to your teammates and you hit your teammates with a hammer or something, give them armor. Like, that way, I think that could be pretty cool.
That could be nice. I was thinking, too, I don't know if some of you guys may be familiar with, there's a game called Borderlands. Pretty cool game. There's a character in that game named Roland. He has a turret. His turret's cool because when you throw a turret out, it gives you health when you stand in its aura.
Really?
Yeah, it gives you residual health. So what if something like that could be a thing for Torbjorn? It doesn't have to be a lot. Not too much so that he's an actual healer. Or maybe move him to a healer if that's the case. But just enough to that where it would benefit your team to kind of keep that turret up. And also benefit, you know, people playing him.
I think that could be really cool, actually. I think his turret having more implication in the sense of it's not just a turret that's basically mowing people down. Like, basically limit the range of the turret a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw a heal on it, or like maybe there's a little healing aura, kind of like soldiers, you know, drop down can thing.
Exactly. Just
you
like
know,
that.
Do something like that, but then the turret doesn't stay up forever, and you know it would die
away
after 10 seconds or something. You know, so this is something that could be used more in team fights, so that makes Torbjorn have to focus a little bit less on his turret, but he can actually fight more, so he doesn't have to sit there and just pound on the turret until it, you know, to keep it up or anything like that. And then maybe Molten Core can just keep the same way where it makes the turret go nuts. I don't know. I think there's just got to be different ideas outside of just putting this turret up and then just sitting next to it and hitting it. I think they got to do something to him.
Right.
And so the last thing we're going to talk about today is Sombra, some of the new Sombra changes. There's a lot of frustration going around this character. And I would say rightfully so. She's a very frustrating character to play against. Let me list it
for a Reinhardt.
Jeez. Yeah, especially for a Reinhardt. It really any tank, honestly. She's a very anti-tanky character. Kind of like how Tracer, when she shoots at tanks, you can melt them out because it's easier to hit your shots on bigger targets.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Sombra, except now you have Hack, which makes it so that they can't even defend themselves, which is frustrating. But so that's one point of frustration. Another one is that she's the only character in the game that can go invisible.
Right.
It's not fun to to have something completely unique to one character, because that character just becomes like something that you don't expect, especially when you don't expect somebody to not exist on the screen anymore. Like, they're just gone.
So what do you do?
And the biggest part, in my opinion, of Overwatch that makes you good, outside of just basic mechanical skill, is having awareness. And when there's a character that completely negates the ability to have awareness of, because you can't be aware of an invisible character, it doesn't work that way. Right. When somebody negates that, it just feels bad. And
right.
I really, really dislike invisibility as a whole. Another thing, she can teleport. You can literally put her down to 5 health, and then she hits, you know, for us, it's usually right bumper, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. And she teleports out, gets some health packs, whatever. So I think there's some points of frustration there. I think for me, what really needs to be changed is her hack. And recently, Blizzard has said that they're changing the hack so that the hack... basically, well, they made it so it takes a little bit less time, but that was last patch. What they're going to do is they're going to get rid of the buffer, which the buffer would help with basically line of sight. So if you lost line of sight, it would buffer a little bit and allow you to still maintain your hack. Now it's just going to cut it off instantly, which is nice.
That is nice.
And so there's a little bit more counterplay in that. And there's another change. I can't really explain it that well. You guys should go look at the patch notes. But basically... it's still very fast, almost too fast to be able to react to, and I think that's frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you said you've had some experience with Reinhardt, so I'd
nothing
you know,
sucks
I like
more
you
than
said.
Having a character you cannot see. You're focused on the enemies in front of you, things that you can see, things you can obviously control as a Reinhardt, trying to shield for your team, and then out of nowhere you hear, and I can't even say it faster than she does it, because it's too fast. Human mouth can't speak that fast, but it's basically like... you have no time to think. There's nothing I can do, because even like at the distance she can hack me at, I can't swing at her. I can't.
Yeah, especially.
I can't fire strike her because of the time it takes to start up that. It's nothing in my skill set can deter her away from hacking me.
Yeah.
If she wants, it's a free hack every time.
Yeah, and not that all characters need to have counterplay for all characters. I think it's fair that she is a counter to certain characters, especially characters like Reinhardt, but that doesn't make it less frustrating.
No.
And I think there's got to be a balance between frustration and, you know, making the game unique. And I think in her regard, her old hack wasn't nearly as frustrating because you could at least have some chance on just about every character. Reinhardt would still get hacked too fast because I believe his hit rate is 1 second per swing, I believe. So he wouldn't be able to do anything about it, but at least other people could.
Right.
You know, and she was a little bit more counterable. So what I would propose that they actually do instead of these new changes, maybe even alongside those new changes, would change her hack to the way it used to be, because her new fire, her new closer, tighter spread actually made her significantly better than she used to be.
Oh,
and same with her longer teleport as well. Having 20 seconds instead of 15 allows her to be in fights much longer. So I would say give her the old hack. And then instead of just like doing that, because that'll nerf her and make her worse. And she already isn't doing amazingly. She's just very annoying and people don't want to be deal with very annoying characters.
Right.
So I would say revert to the old hack, but then allow her to gain alt charge off of self-heal only. So if you're collecting your own health packs that you hacked, you would get alt charge off that. And that's not my idea. That's something I believe that Fitzy brought up. If you guys don't know who Fitzy is, he's a very high-tiered Sombra player, probably the most popular Sombra player on Twitch. And that was one of his ideas, I believe, on like Overwatch Central or Your Overwatch, an interview. And I thought that was a very good idea. So that combined with the hack switch, so you're kind of buffing but also nerfing in two different regards, making her less frustrating to play against, but also giving her a little bit more of a buff. We don't want her to be an alt bot, but if she's not able to fight as consistently because she can't get these hacks off as much, I think allowing her to get the hacks off in a different way, being ultimates, might actually be useful in keeping her, you know, in the meta, making her okay.
Right.
But also not breaking her.
Right.
You know? Less frustration is, in my opinion, always good for the game. You know, if there are characters that aren't being played as often, that's totally fine. I think that's healthy for a game. Every game I've ever played, for example, Smash Bros., nobody plays every character in that game. You're going to see Fox most of the time in Melee. He's going to get played all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and there's characters that are like that.
Right.
You know, you play the new Smash Bros. I believe Bayonetta's top tier, Diddy Kong's top tier, Rosalina, and those are characters you see a lot. people are going to play the better characters. That's just how games work.
Right.
You can't balance everything to be perfect. Some characters need to be worse than others.
Yeah.
And Sombra offers a lot to be good.
Like, I don't want to have a Widow get buffed to the fact that she's the best character in the game. That's why I don't play her, because there's a skill gap there that I don't have. I don't have that skill to snipe. But if you buffed her to make her, you know, more viable, more playable character in lower tier of Overwatch competitive, it's just, why? You know, we don't need that.
Yeah. So I think just small changes to Sombra can make her less frustrating.
Right.
Make her more fun to play. But, like, and they have to be small. If you make large changes, it ruins a unique character. So small changes make her less frustrating, make her more fun to play, or more playable at least.
Right.
And I think that'll give her a good spot in the game. Mm-hmm. She may not be top tier, but we do need to get it so that you can play her and not get trashed on. And this most recent Sombra is very playable. Even though her win rate still hasn't gone up a whole lot. I believe she's still the lowest win rate of all DPS heroes by almost 5%, which is a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think they just need to do something. And I think what that is fixing the hack, because new hack is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
unplayable. But doing something else to make her a little better. Maybe even make her spread tighter.
Yeah.
Like, that would make her an absolute tank shred, and she would be fighting every DPS and winning most fights if it's a one-on-one.
Right.
If you play her right and have good tracking. That might be annoying. I don't know. But it's something I'd always be willing to see and test. So, yeah. That's pretty much it for today, guys. Thank you guys for listening. I don't know if you have anything else to add into here.
No. That was it. Yeah, that's good. It's good. Good talks.
Yeah, yeah. So this podcast, the Hammer Down podcast, we want it to be, we're probably going to go bi-weekly, right? Every 2 weeks or so. I think that's fair. And every time we're just going to be talking about more stuff like this, having dialogue. If you guys want to catch up with us, hit us up on Twitter. We don't have the Twitter made yet, but we'll put that in the description for this podcast when we upload it. So you guys can hit us up if you guys have any other content that you guys want us to talk about. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, guys, peace out.
Peace out.